Hi, sweetheart.
Hey, Angel.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, well, reporting live from the beating heart of Nutmeg Country.
Cable actuated and opinionated.
This is Alt-Bike Now.
Alternative radio.
For alternative cyclists. I'm Ronnie Romance.
And I'm Aria Proudfeet.
Thanks for joining us. why the Proudfeet this time around?
Proudfeet is from The Hobbit. It's Proudfoot, but I'm Proudfeet.
Okay, all right.
It's a Hobbit family.
Okay, bringing it in. I like
it.
Okie dokie now. Well, everybody, this is our second episode. Thanks for listening to the first episode. I'm actually going to bring up those stats while Aria talks here.
Yeah, I heard that the sound quality was a little off, that it was pretty quiet. But, you know, that's a nice way to start things off. And we will... We'll figure that out.
That 703 downloads.
That's a lot.
That was more than I had expected, honestly.
I don't really know what a download means. Does it mean that they're listening they're like,
I think
does that mean listeners?
I think that means like and subscribe, basically.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Which in our world, I mean, that is everything.
Please like us.
So thanks for tuning in for another episode here. We've got, I liked our, how many times did you listen to our podcast? Be honest.
Like three times probably, but I had a long drive.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into that later. Yeah.
We're still in our kitchen. Yep. I'm still on my second cup of tea.
I mean, don't think these 703 downloads, you know, got us all prima donna'd.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still.
We're still regular Madonna.
Yeah.
We're still virgins.
Nice one, Nams. Nice. Why don't we just go over first, like, kind of what you could expect in this podcast, and maybe we'll put it into chapters on the actual software applications.
Okay.
That I can get into later. So, we're going to start off with our headlines, basically our banter, pro sports gossip, news, a roundup for the week. And then we're going to get into real life report backs. Okay. Aria had a trip to DC, met a few people in the alt bike world, and I had my longest mileage week in over a year. So I'm going to talk about those sensations a little bit.
Big hats.
We're bringing back Tell 'Em Why You're Mad. Oops.
Tell 'Em Why You're Mad.
Tell 'Em Why You're Mad. That's a kind of a tongue twister.
Is it though?
No.
Tell 'Em Why You're Mad.
Tell 'Em Why You're Mad.
Tell 'Em Why You're Mad.
So we're going to tell you why we are mad this week. We should also, I think it's worth repeating that that's a shout out to Hot 97.
Hot 93.7.
Yeah. Jenny Boom Boom.
You love Jenny. She's not my favorite. Mine is DJ Hawk because you get that Hawk sound.
I'll try to put that in. Yeah.
Thank you.
And then we're going to wrap up the podcast with other podcasts that we loved this week. So I think that should fill up the hour plus pretty quickly, as it did last week.
We'll see.
Why don't we get right into it?
Headlines.
Tenzin, what's up with your headlines this week?
Did you just call me Tenzin?
Sorry.
You did.
There's a lot of, we all have a lot of names.
I guess that
here.
Is my legal name.
Yeah, legal.
it's trying to get legitimate here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot to talk about for headlines because we, in the last week, we've had the Vuelta Femenina finish all their seven stages. We know the winner now. And then the men's Giro started.
That's right.
Yeah. And it was like so quickly after classic season. It's just you.
Yeah. If you want to get into pro racing and you want something entertaining to watch pretty much every night while you're eating your beans. It's really, you know, pro racing has what you are looking for. I mean, there is a thick plot line. If you're ever into like pro wrestling or just like trash TV in general, you know, it's the...
It's not that good.
It's no Jersey Shore.
Certainly not.
Certainly not.
Although everybody does have a little bit of a situation
when
they lift the jerseys.
Nice. Yeah, well, you know, it's we went right out of cyclocross season into classic season, and now all of a sudden it's Grand Tour season, which is incredible. Incredible. So we got, you know, if, as long as you subscribe to like three different
I know, that's the
three different TV apps.
Well, that's why you tune into this podcast.
Now. So I mean, you listen to All Bike Now.
Have to waste $20 a month. It's true. On
Think about that money you're saving. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. These are just services we offer, folks. Yeah. So, you know, we'll again, I know we realize this is an alt bike podcast, and we're talking about pro road racing, which is, I guess, the antithesis of alt bike. But there are connections, and it all depends upon the way that you consume this media and how you apply it to your own riding. I just think that I said it last week. I'll say it again, probably every week, that holistic cycling is what we are all about. And, you know, I like it all with the exception of triathlons.
Fair enough.
So pick a sport, you know, three.
Yeah.
Good God.
I know. This isn't a polyamory situation, you know, like.
Yeah, much, much less sultry. Let's see. So, well, the Vuelta Femenina, Aria, what did you observe on your mobile device? Because you were watching this in the van in Washington, D.C., am I right?
Yeah, not necessarily in D.C., but like in and around. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So not the best way to watch it in the van on my little screen, but it was still pretty exciting because every single day there was the red jersey, which is the jersey that the
like the yellow jersey in the Tour. There's the pink jersey in the Giro and a red jersey in the Vuelta.
It was on a different back every day, you know, which isn't normal.
Yeah, yeah.
And listening to the route overviews, I knew what was coming each day, like what kind of a route, whether it was a sprinting route, a heavy climbing route. So the last 2 days was just these incredible climbs, like mountain finishes, which are some of my favorites because I'm a mountain person. Mm-hmm. And the reason I got into watching these Grand Tours was because you see like helicopter footage, road footage of just these incredible landscapes. Mm. And as we've learned from the introduction, I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. And because the descriptions of landscapes are just so stunning, it puts you right there. I think that's why I got into the Grand Tour stuff.
And Spain right now, being a warmer climate, it is stunning right now. So the scenery was so green.
And then the little towns that they go through, the people that are cheering, the little kids that like run alongside the pros. Mm-hmm.
It's really like watching pro cycling is like a cool way to like jot down little towns that they go through that look super cute. Sure. And you're like, I want to go here someday. I want to ride these roads. And the roads are like goat paths. They're so narrow. Some of them, which is, I don't know how much auto traffic they have and when the roads aren't closed, but I mean, at least while these riders are prancing up the mountains, it certainly looks quite inviting, I would say.
Yeah, it does. It does. And so, it is kind of neat that they get a day where, you know, they don't have to deal with cars at all. Mm-hmm. That's the reason you want to be a pro cyclist. That's true. Want to ride some of the best roads without
with your head down, looking at your head unit. What numbers are you putting out? Maybe you look up every once in a while. I'd have to imagine.
Just
maybe a little bit.
Bleeding everywhere.
Bleeding out of your eyeballs.
Yes, there were some crashes that were pretty brutal. Right. We found out that Marianne Vos in that first stage did have a fractured collarbone and finished eighth.
Yeah, like, still finished eighth on that stage.
Talk about grit.
Yeah, so probably just put a piece of leather between her teeth and just bit down and finished the stage.
Don't know where she got that leather, but she found it, folks.
You can't use your toe straps anymore. That's what they used to do, though.
Good God.
Yeah, that's right. So I think to wrap up the Vuelta coverage here, there were the two mountain stages, which were the ones that if you were to look back at the highlights, that's what's most exciting because the racing happens in slow motion towards the end, these steep ass climbs. I mean, the stage six was incredibly steep, like 20% plus gradients. And the way that they were able to capture it on the with the motion picture cameras from the helicopter, I'm assuming, it was like it just looked unrelentingly steep, like incredibly steep.
I know.
Actually made it, that stuff inspires me to go out and ride some steep shit around here, which is, you know, not something that I often do during the work week, because a lot of the steeper climbs around here, I like to reserve for the weekends only. I don't know what it is. I get like anxiety during the work week. I'm like, oh God, I'm too far away from home and I got to get up that climb to get home back to my chocolates and various other sundries. But no, you know, watching pro cycling on TV puts me out there. I'm like, well, they can do it on TV, I could do it at home here.
Yeah, thinking about all the external and internal pressures they have to give us these performances, these battles, these risk of life and limb, you know, it's a lot.
And but, again, for next to no pay.
I mean, are we going to? Yeah, next to no pay is absolutely
so
right.
That, so that. That
I'll get into a little bit of that in the wrap-up podcast
why you,
and tell
why
you're
mad.
About.
Yeah. Little teaser for why you mad. Am I saying that right now? I'm just saying why you mad. Is that
you're one of the many yours that you mess up on spelling your and your.
So stage six, incredibly steep, won by Anna Vandenbreggen,
who is a fun character because she retired from pro cycling when the women's teams didn't have as many races or racers that were.
Yeah, it's really in the last 4-5 years where things have really taken off for women's racing.
And I think she just like, because she was, I think I want to say director sportif or maybe like an advisor. She was for SD, the work, the team that she rides for now.
Like the biggest women's team.
Yeah, arguably, because it's got Lorena Weebs, it's got Lotta Capecchi, it's got Anna Vandenbreggen. There's others in there, too, that I'm forgetting the names of, but extremely a superstar team. They used to have Demi Vollering, but now she works for another team that's also very good, FDJ, who Demi won the Vuelta the last 2 years. She was not in it this year.
She was kind of like, been there, done that. I'm a hot girl. I'm moving on.
Maybe, I don't know what's going on in her head, but the winner this year was a Spanish rider for the Spanish Grand Tour, which is
ahead a little bit here.
It's fine. We can do whatever we want. It's our podcast.
Yeah. So Anna Vandenbreggen winning stage six just kind of dropped everybody slowly on these unrelentingly steep pitches. Very cool to watch in slow motion.
Because she just like pedals
and she had no expression.
Like perfect cadence.
She has no expression.
Doesn't look like she's suffering at all.
Like
and
if she wins or loses, she has the same expression on her face.
Like the
shades on, just like cool, calm, and collective. Maybe. I've never seen her. She smiles.
She smiles a lot on the podium.
On the podium, she smiles. But when she's riding, no smiles.
Yeah, it's game on.
Not many people smile when they're riding at that pace, I guess. But anyway.
Stop telling women to smile. How about that?
Yeah, right. Smile.
They don't have to smile for you.
They don't have to smile. Maybe she had something in her teeth or something, like spinach. You know,
you're just thinking about food all the time. Yeah. Let it go, Ron.
And so then fast forward to stage seven, the final stage. Oh, I forgot. I in stage six, I missed the opportunity to say the penultimate stage, stage six.
Yeah.
That word gets thrown around so much in pro cycling. I didn't even know what it meant until recently.
Mm-hmm.
Blondes writes now, you can say what you will. Did you know what it meant?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Second to last, everyone, if you're like me.
Mm-hmm.
I would just be like, penultimate must mean ultimate. Like, that must be the biggest climb.
Like, more than ultimate.
More than ultimate.
Ultra ultimate.
Pen must be some word. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so, you know, that's stage seven, another mountain stage, and it was the first time the women's Vuelta had gone up the iconic climb of the Angerlu. Angliru. I think I said that correctly.
Très bien.
Which is, I mean, a pretty...
Molto bene. I mean...
this is Spanish. a beautiful climb, super steep. And it was won by the Swiss rider Petra Stiassny. Petra Stiassny. Under 100 pounds, pure climber. Just completely dominated that stage. And in doing so,
out of the saddle,
right?
Most of that climb just,
yeah. And doing so led, the UAE rider, who ended up actually, the Spanish UAE rider who ended up actually winning this race overall.
Everything changed in that last.
Yeah. Do you know the, do you know the name of the rider that actually ended up winning the women's Vuelta?
Paulina.
We'll call her Paulina. Okay.
Yeah, because I haven't heard of her that much. You know, the stars in the women's field, I'm so bad at it because I only know like the top four or five. You know, people that do, have done really well.
Yeah.
But in the women's races, there usually is somebody that can be like, super strong, and they kind of come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what happened with the World Championships last year, the Canadian homie winning it, like, and then Kristen Faulkner winning the Olympics, American rider, kind
right,
of
right.
In that way. She was pretty strong too.
This just in, we know the name of the racer who won
the
Vuelta España Women's Femmes. We are talking UAE rider Paula Blasi.
Paula Blasi,
She's only 23.
I know.
So Anna van der Breggen lost 24 seconds on that last stage.
I know.
And crossed the line and looked the same as when she crossed the line when she won the stage the day before. Just no expression. Was smiling a little bit on the podium, although you gotta wonder how much turmoil was inside. Do you think that she's just psyched on anybody who wins, or is this kind of like...
I think being number two is always shitty.
It's terrible.
Get it? Number two is shitty.
Ooh.
like, it just doesn't... You've got to be like, oh, freaking 34 seconds. Like,
I came back...
Dang.
Yeah, I came back from retirement for second.
Yeah.
Against a 23-year-old.
Well,
I mean, it's a young person's sport these days, but
you don't really know for women's.
You don't because
though, because the science isn't there,
who's
and
the
people who
who's
are
your who's the
Mavi Garcia,
42 years old,
Mavi Garcia, yeah, on the same team,
on the same
as
team as you as
Pauline.
Paula,
my bad, sorry Paula.
So you know, pretty cool, pretty cool.
I know you're tuning in.
So what's next? What's next for the women's peloton? I haven't really checked.
Well, we'll get into that later because I feel like we've spent a lot of time here.
Yeah, too much time there. Okay, we're going to move on.
There's so many other podcasts
going to really rush since women's racing is arguably more alt than men's racing. I'm just going to spend a little bit of time on men's racing here.
Yeah, no one really cares about men's racing.
The Giro d'Italia, which is the first Grand Tour for the men of the season.
Grande Torre.
I think it's one of my favorite to watch because Italy is the most beautiful country in the world, let's just say it. And at this time of year, especially, you know, when they're in the doing mountain stages, there's also oftentimes like really inclement weather, snow, sleet, freezing rain, just gnarly conditions. And the road surfaces are often, you know, not as polished as what you'd find in the you know, in the Tour de France or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a pretty dangerous race for most racers. Being at the first Grand Tour of the season, you got nerves are pretty high. And also, again, it's just kind of second rate. I don't mean that in like a bad way, but it is second rate as far as like safety goes. And so I know there's a little sadistic part of me that really likes this. I don't know.
Machiavelli is Italian. So
I kind of like the action of, I mean, cycling has not become any safer with the advent of like better equipment. People are still crashing hard, like every single stage seemingly. And I, you know, the first three stages of the Giro are in Bulgaria. Bulgaria just makes me think of yogurt. personally. And I love yogurt, one of my favorite foods. So
it makes me think of bulgur wheat.
Bulgur wheat.
Yeah.
Another great.
Just delicious things.
Delicious,
I guess,
things in Bulgaria.
Never been.
Other things in Bulgaria. So they were. So the tour, the Giro organizers were a little bit nervous about hosting the opener here in in Bulgaria. They do kind of like have openers in both the Tour de France and the Giro in like other countries. It's kind of, that's a normal thing, but Bulgaria never happened before. And so I guess like a few weeks right before the races were bound to happen in Bulgaria, they like hastily paved the streets, the roads that these riders are going to be going on, because they were all potholed. And they did a nice job. It was very like slick and smooth, but it rained like every stage. And so on stage two, there was a horrific crash going down a mountain descent, and it took out like it took out like the entire UAE team, which
I feel like they're cursed.
Well, yeah, maybe this year. Well, they've got Tadej Pogačar. That's a UAE rider.
Of course, crashed.
Is not racing the Giro this year, but won it 2 years ago when he did race it. So this is like Jonas Vingegaard's like race to lose, which is Tadej's like main rival, if you want to call him that. Jonas,
he's a sweet boy. Leave him alone.
Jonas made it out unscathed, but Adam Yates, who is the favorite for UAE and was the twin brother of Simon Yates, winner from last year. So had a very high, if anybody could go up against Jonas, it was this guy. And
it would have been Yates.
Yeah, it would have been Yates. And I'm telling you, he went over the guardrail at like 40 miles an hour and landed like straight on his face. And so there's just carnage all around him. Like, people moaning. I mean, it's a gnarly sport.
Rules the fields of death.
Carnage. Rules the fields of death. One of my favorite Sacred Sphere songs. Sacred Steel songs. Maybe I'll put that in the show notes here. So he gets up and is like kind of like taking inventory of what's going on around him, and he's got mud all over the front of his face because he landed straight in the mud, and he also got a cut behind his ear, and so there was blood coming like in the front of his face, so it's just like blood and mud on his face, and he's looking for his bike to get back on so he could like finish the stage. And they did like a concussion check and a few other things. He got back on, but a number of his other teammates, such as Jay Vine and I forget the other guy, Marcus Soler, did not make it all the way down to the finish. And as as it goes, the next day, all three of them had abandoned the race. So not a great start to the Giro for UAE. Stage three was won by Jonathan Milan, who is super sexy.
Yeah.
If you want to just look him up, he's like 6'4" and... like, you know, there's people, Filippo Ganna, he's Northern Italian, these two Italian racers, Filippo Ganna and Jonathan Milan are some of the hottest guys in the pro peloton. Not saying much, but these guys are hot, let me tell you. So check them out. okay, so let's, yeah. All right, so we're going to leave you with that. That ends our, I don't know why we lead with pro bike stuff. But maybe because we're trying to
push the season
it.
Season. So. Like, and they've just kind of sausaged all of these incredible races. Just like it's still cold outside. We're still wearing our fuzzy thick robes. Yeah.
Do you think we should do a little ad break here before we get into the other stuff? Because we were kind of like on that time. Yeah, well, the ad break is our sponsor is ronsbikes.com. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they just released these amazing bags.
They did?
Yeah, in all three styles. We've got a Fab's Chest Mini, Fab's Chest Small, and Fab's Chest Large in a color that we haven't released in some time now.
That's right.
I was looking through for some photos and I couldn't find them. You know, this is charcoal waxed canvas. It's actually waxed Cordura. Most people don't know that, but it's got the same look and feel as canvas, but it's much more mold repellent and mildew repellent, and doesn't get that kind of like dry rot that some other fabrics can get.
It looks
time.
Really nice too. So yes, keeps its shape
nicely.
It's
something that you'll have for the rest of your life,
That's true.
All repairable.
US looks made. Great.
US made. Wow. Runflex.com is really, really doing it, aren't they?
I know. Oh, man. I know.
So that's our ad break. Check out runsbikes.com. Okay, so back to the show. let's get into Lynxy, the American titanium manufacturer in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Chapter 11, bankruptcy. Another one bites the dust, folks. We're kind of in a transitional period for cycling in general right now. And while it has been focused more so, the pain has been focused more so on the bigger brands, small brands too, especially if you're kind of relying on an older model, you're probably not doing so well. Case in point, Lynxy, I can't recall how many employees they had, but it's a heritage, a titanium American manufacturer in, I believe, 21 years they were doing it. They've made bikes for a number of pro racers over the years, as well as kind of like off-label stuff for other titanium bike brands. So they stayed busy doing not only their own brand, but making stuff for Lightspeed, making stuff for other people. Well, as it goes with the way the world is going right now, Lynxy was not able to pull through. They owed a lot of money to SRAM. Imagine owing money to SRAM.
Yeah.
That would hurt. That would hurt. You know, I'd owe money to Campagnolo any day. Well, no, I wouldn't want to owe money to them. I'd want to pay, I'd want to make sure that I didn't owe money to Campagnolo, but, actually having to give money to SRAM, whew, after you're bankrupt, that's rough. Moving forward, I think this begs the question, is titanium dead? Is it just not cool anymore? You have a titanium bike. You've got Arya.
Yeah.
Has a Ty Fat Chance.
I do.
Which is totally sick.
It is.
But it's an old bike.
Yeah.
And it was made in a time where titanium was like the creme de la creme of frame materials. If you had a titanium bike in the mid-90s, you were likely very rich.
Right, right. Because it was new.
It was new.
Like, it was newer, so people...
Carbon wasn't around yet.
Yeah, people were kind of into it as a carbon
aluminum alternative. Aluminum was kind of like not seen worth... It wasn't like expensive enough to be high zoot, but, titanium is just...
I think
super
that's
expensive.
Yeah, I don't know if the question is titanium over, because the whole sell on titanium is the durability. Like, you buy it once and then you've got it. Like, my bike is from 1996 and it still rides like a dream, mm-hmm. And it's just not going to go bad. It's not going to get a crack and then be
I suppose, but
how long it lasts.
That's the way people generally look at titanium bikes, as like forever bikes. But the way that bike trends move these days, especially when you're paying a lot, like if you're, say, like what is like a new bike from Moots cost? Like I want to say, like, I saw one in like the mid like $14,000 range for like a complete Moots titanium bike. So I mean, that's in line with what like an S-Works Tarmac or like a S-Works, like maybe like the new S-Works crust. Yeah, the S-Works crust. Anyway, there are plenty, like, people may not realize just how expensive like the highest end bicycles are these days. I could recall in my day, in the mid 90s, when I was looking at bike prices all the dang time working at shops, the highest, like the most expensive Specialized that you could buy back then was like the S-Works M2, which I had, and that was $2,000 complete with full XTR.
Yeah.
And a suspension fork, what would that have come with? Like the Manitou Mach 5 or something with like the carbon legs.
Sounds sick.
Sick. It was a sick bike. $2,000. And now we're talking like $14,000. But I look back on an inflation calculator and it is in line. $2,000 back then.
Yeah. It's about
$14,000 now. So,
Meanwhile, the federal minimum wage hasn't been up.
Why are you mad?
That's related. The madness just keeps creeping
in. So it's like, so a titanium bike at that level, you know, there's so many other different frame materials that you could go with, you know, be it aluminum or steel. I feel like aluminum, for me personally, you know, I like aluminum bikes.
Yeah.
I've been riding aluminum bikes since those M2 days. I just think that it offers a great, you know, it's as lightweight as titanium, but the same cost as steel and sometimes even less than steel.
Also a kitchen product.
Was it a kitchen product?
you know, aluminum wraps,
rattles, aluminum foil. Oh, okay. Yeah, it makes a great baked potato.
I know. Yeah. I can remember the commercial where they did like the bake in the potato thing where you like made a little pocket out of the aluminum, pop it in the oven.
Yeah, of course. You know? Yeah. Yeah. All from, you know, so you can't do that with titanium.
Can't.
Or if you could, it would be very expensive. The fatal flaw of titanium. I don't know. I just think titanium bikes were once really cool and now they're just not. And there are like ways that you could, like, 3D printing is kind of revolutionizing titanium in some ways because you can make like cool forks, like whereas before, titanium is inherently like a flexy material, so you have to use like a really oversized, you have to use an oversized tube to make it not overly flexy. And so for forks, people are not able to figure out titanium forks for the longest time because you've got to make them hugely oversized in order to, you know, the lateral stiffness of them for when you're actually trying to accurately place your front wheel on something. If you've got your front axle moving fore and aft, it's not necessarily a confidence inspiring feeling. So they're now able to like 3D print titanium and make it and tune it to in ways that it's more laterally stiff and compliant, in the other way, laterally, vertically compliant. There we go. So there are some brands that are kind of like pushing the envelope with that, but it's still, you know, titanium is just overly priced. I just don't think that it offers, you know, I don't think it offers anything as far as, you know, more durability or like more like better ride quality. I just think it, you know, that's all in the tires, folks. We talk about that. You know, your ride quality is in your tires, your handlebars, and your saddle and your pedals. That's what you're feeling when you're on your bike. You just need the frame that all that stuff is attached to. It just needs to have good geometry. Whatever the material is, it does not matter. I prefer the lightest weight materials because I have to carry my bikes a lot and I like to travel with my bikes. It just makes a big difference if your bike is a few pounds lighter. But, you know, that's
regardless,
all.
I love my Ti Fat Chance.
Yes.
And the first time I rode on it, I was like, wow, this is what.
It's also a 13-inch frame.
It's very small.
Very small.
But I'm also 5'2 on
I think that's a great application for titanium, a small frame, it's a small triangle, so it doesn't have an opportunity to flex a bunch. Mm-hmm, but if it were my size, which would be, you know, like a 21 to a 24 or a 59 to a 62 centimeter, it's very noodly and not in a way like steel is noodly. Like a good, well-tuned steel bike, I think, rides way better than a well-tuned titanium frame. Because I think most people just rely on like the name titanium to make their bike cool. And it's just not enough. And that's obviously playing out in real time with Link C going bankrupt, chapter 11. Not that we wish that on anyone. It's just, it's unfortunate to lose any bike brand, but I don't know. Just kind of made me think a little bit about titanium in general and if it's cool moving forward. So
just a change, right? I mean, we had to shutter our factory when we had a factory.
We've been there.
It's not a fun feeling. But hopefully this closed door is a open doors somewhere else.
I'm sure someone else will buy it up and it'll become something else.
Because I know, I remember going to a bike expo and they had a panel of frame builders that all worked with Ti. And they, I mean, every single one of them. I think there was like six people up there. Mm-hmm. I wish I could remember who it was because it was years ago. But they were saying how much they loved working with titanium. Mm-hmm. Like it was their favorite metal to weld, to play with.
And it is hard. Imagine. It's hard to work with. So I guess probably once you master it, you're feeling pretty good about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was, it's just like the relationship they said that they had with this, working with this versus steel or anything else, just they just, and like everyone was nodding their heads in agreement. Like, yeah, it is definitely
a rewarding process.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So it is a shame that,
we've got some great titanium brands still left here. Kind of like from the Merlin, you know, Merlin cycles was,
the Merlin person was the moderator for
right. Which then turned into, Seven. We've got our shout out to
Susie and Matt.
Susie and Matt,
yeah,
in Massachusetts, who come to all of our events. And Matt was with Merlin back in the day,
He's been
in working with titanium. Matt is I forget exactly what his role is, but he has been working titanium adjacently for his entire cycling career. Mm-hmm. Which is well over 30 years.
Many decades. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Seven is still going on in Massachusetts. We've also got Firefly in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Doing some beautiful stuff.
Mm-hmm. Long live titanium.
I got to ride around a little bit, the Singular Cycles, Kite, which is a titanium frame. It's a Taiwanese titanium frame from an English brand.
Tai Tai.
has a 3D printed titanium fork. I think that is a pretty cool bike. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's stuff out there. But we'll move on now. If you want to, I don't know. Maybe we could have Matt on someday, you know, just as a guest. Tell us, because he's given us some pretty cool.
It would
cool...
be fun to have some guests
on the line. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Matt would be a good one. All right. Well.
Come for breakfast.
Yeah, come for breakfast. Oh, my goodness. My amaranth is cooking still. I'm going to turn that off.
All right. Go turn that amaranth off because my favorite part of being in bikes is where it intersects with pop culture, big pop culture. Mm-hmm. You know, like Joe Biden falling off of his bike was pretty fun.
oh, gosh. That was...
I get all of these, like, ads of the late Robin Williams, the late, great Robin Williams, a.k.a. Mrs. Doubtfire, like, on all of his nuts bikes that he used to ride.
He was a collector. Yeah, yeah. Definitely also like an
incredible talent too.
Yeah.
But.
Like a Lance sub also. But he was all about it. We also have the Kennedy guy?
John.
No. Is it John?
Yeah, it's John Kennedy Jr.
Who
died?
Yeah. Well, they've all died.
Crash?
Yeah. Plane crash. Died.
Unfortunately, there's still one like turning around. Making
he's killed
rules
a bear.
For us.
Yeah.
Hanging out with weirdos.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, there's been a lot of iconic photos of John Jr. With a.
In your favorite decade.
Yeah, favorite decade of the 90s with his looks.
Looking damn good.
But his bikes are kind of played. I think he had like a Gary Fisher Hukuiku or something, which is the Grateful Dead one, which was most people like try to collect those now. Like they're like good bikes, but those were shit bikes. Like those were like budget bikes. They had like STX on them, which is like below LX.
Okay, I guess
LX.
We're talking ill of dead people's choices on this
it's
podcast.
Below LX. LX is so synonymous with 105.
Sheesh.
105. So below 105 if you're talking road terms. And if you're...
It's not done.
Yeah, that's... you're that rich and you're riding bullshit like that. Like get a titanium fat chance for crying out loud.
I know.
You know? Anyway.
You're the son of America.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah. So that intersection with pop culture, a nice setup there.
Yeah. I got, I keep getting people sharing this with me. Molly just shared this with me last night that Jonathan Bailey and Natalie Portman are going to star in a thriller called Pumping Black.
Interesting name.
I know that's what the name of this movie is. It's launching in the Cannes Film Festival,
it's cycling adjacent, the main plot is in the cycling world.
From this Variety article, the film is set in the cutthroat world of competitive cycling. I'm just curious. I like those two actors a lot. I'm a fan of Natalie Portman, of course, and Jonathan Bailey, who was in... I originally saw him from Bridgerton,
mm-hmm.
and he's really good. And then he's been in a bunch of other stuff since then.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty big star. I mean, he was voted People's like Sexiest Man Alive, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Natalie Portman is just... legend at this point, icon.
Do you think
for Palestine a lot too?
Natalie Portman has a pretty slight stature. Do you think she is going to play
Guy Riolini?
Well, we haven't got into the Guy Riolini yet. I was going to ask if she was going to play a male character.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm interested in these two, and I'm interested in what the story is going to be. We will definitely be watching this. I'm curious how they're going to what storyline they're going to pick, like what era they could pick, cuz like it would be fun if it was the era of like, you know, the olden days.
Oh,
better looking bikes.
Kind of like a period piece.
It would be fun.
You know,
just because I'm used to Jonathan Bailey being in period pieces because of Bridgerton, and that's the connection I make.
Is Jonathan Bailey the one with the jawline?
I mean, he has a jaw.
He has a jaw. Okay.
I
see. I'm not into him. Yeah, I was thinking of the guy with the jaw, which I don't know. I guess that's only.
Oh, from the first season. Yeah. He's in another movie we digress.
Either way,
but
this Jonathan Bailey guy,
1,000%
kind of fugly, in my opinion.
He is not fugly. It back.
Well, he's no Jonathan Milan nor Filippo Ganna. Anyway, we. We have, there were, the 80s had a whole host of cycling movies, you know, that were big budget.
That's true.
With like, you've got
American Flyer.
With Kevin Costner. Then you've got.
What's the one with Kevin Bacon?
Well, that's Quicksilver. And Lawrence Fishburne. And then you've got.
Bacon's Many Vests.
Then you've got Breaking Away.
Yeah.
With Dennis Quaid and the guy, and then the burglar from Home Alone.
That's true. The Wet Bandit.
Yeah, the Wet Bandit. Before the Wet Bandit days. Uh-huh. So three iconic movies there. And if you haven't seen those, like, make a point of it, because they're all classics.
Wait, what about the later one with Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Premium Rush.
Were you an extra in that movie?
Stop it right now. I want to be on record right here saying I have no early aughts fixie association. Like, that wasn't. I was in Durango, which is famously unfashionable. I was being fashionable in Durango, mind you, but I was not a sweet fixie kid. And now you've stepped away to go urinate?
Well, you know.
Hello.
Nature calls.
I'm talking about sweet fixies over here.
I know.
Kind of leaving me alone being vulnerable.
It's not vulnerability.
Sweet
fixies are sweet. That's how
a lot of people got. Yeah, it's how a lot of people that we serve now.
They're called sweet fixies because they're sweet.
Did you get yours at Urban Outfitters?
No, we don't have Urban Outfitters where we live. Oh wait, no, there was one in New Haven.
Yeah,
that's right.
Mm-hmm,
that's right.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So, okay, no hate on sweet fixie kids.
Yeah,
that's but
that's racist.
Know, but,
that's just straight up white supremacist racism.
Okay. got a lot of people into bikes.
It sure did.
And I want to talk about this at another time.
Here.
I feel like the sweet fixie of today is the vintage, is like the old mountain bike, the 90s mountain bike, because they're easy to work on. They're accessible,
sure,
and there's a lot of them out there, and they're great bikes. And you could actually like work on them and see how they work. So great entryway into bikes for young people of college age.
And you can be, you can like do all sorts of tricks and ride up a tree or whatever.
I guess it was the tricks and fixie tricks were always kind of like pretty cringe to me personally.
Because you hate fun?
Yeah. I always was like, these are meant for the track or they're meant for, you know.
Just a purist.
Like a purist thing, like training for road race. Like I followed this blog back in the day, Belgian Knee Warmers. Mm-hmm. And this is when I was racing a lot. And they, you know, it was a very British thing to train on a fixed gear in the wintertime. And it would help, it would help like identify your smooth pedal stroke and enhance it. So if you did like the first month of training on a fixed gear, upping the gear ratio, making it harder each week. And so I got into fixed gear riding doing that. Post high school, where we would booger weld in the shop class a freewheel to the spokes to make it fixed gear, and we would have a little track racing neighborhood criterium. Just the three of us, one person would have to wait at each intersection to make sure a car wasn't coming.
See, it's fun.
That was fun.
Anyway. All of it is fun. Let people have their fun.
Yeah, I don't even know where I was going with that, but
it was just a fun side story. I mean, you like to have fun on a fixie with Country Fixed.
So Country Fixed is so fun. Yeah, because of that whole training with the fixed gear in the late aughts, I had a lot of there's a lot of dirt roads and stuff around here. So it's fun to just blow through those dirt roads and like keep that momentum going on a fixed gear.
Scorching,
we call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, my first scorching fixed gear was like a cross check with 42 millimeter Panaracer fire crosses and a fixed gear.
Eight.
I had brakes.
Eight. Gotta have.
I was able to ride straight through the winter through like the slush and everything because you get like better traction. It's a posi-track traction where you've got like, you're connected to the rear wheel so you could kind of feel if you're going to slip or not. That's why it was popular for British racers in foul weather. Less maintenance on your bike because the gears start getting all salty and crappy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think just, variety is the spice of life. Mm-hmm, and we're
talking about holistic cycling here. I take back all of my words. No hate on fixie tricks. Do some fixie tricks. Get out there right now, everyone, and do some fixie tricks.
Yeah.
Bar spins on your
track stance.
Track stance. Okay. We gotta move on here.
Anyways.
Yeah. that was all from your premium rush joke.
Yeah. It doesn't take much. It
doesn't take much for me.
You say one like trigger word like premium rush and memories and thoughts just come rushing out of Ron here.
And here we are.
Because we were starting with Cycling Movie and Jonathan Bailey. And then, of course, you had to go on a tangent about you don't think Jonathan Bailey is hot. Which is like ridiculous because the people would disagree.
Okay. Well.
So it's cool that Natalie Portman is in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're curious to see what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it's about? Let us know in an email we don't have currently.
I saw that people have left like comments on the Spotify. And
yeah, but
Apple.
I don't have Spotify.
I think they do it on Apple too. Right?
Oh, okay. I have the Apple thing, but please keep leaving those comments. We'll read them. Ronnie will read the Spotify ones.
Well, out me as a Spotify user. Well, I've just used it for too long. And
excuses. Yeah. They were running ads for ICE on it. Like, I'm not going to pay money for anything that, granted,
I didn't see those ads.
Apple's not great.
Yeah,
either,
right.
But
what can you do these days, folks? If you're pretending to be pure,
you pick a side.
Yeah, you pick a side.
You pick a side. There's a line and you pick
a side. Nobody is completely absolved of, we all got our hands in this bullshit somewhere.
No, we're not doing All Lives Matter right now. We're going to move
moving on to your
real life report backs.
Real life report backs.
You, so I went on a little road trip down to Northern Virginia, Middle Virginia. Excuse me.
Yeah, you haven't been around NGC. Much this week.
Yeah, I left on Tuesday.
In the van.
In the van, which is nice because don't want to. Don't you dare.
It's still not registered.
You better stop. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna pull them. But all of the safety is like caught up. We got it fixed up, oil changed.
Safety is caught up. Yeah.
It's insured. It's just, you know, the state is illegitimate. I don't I don't blame that. Anyway, sorry, Mom. Just took a trip down to DC. It was pretty nice. I saw some old friends. And some new friends. I was there originally, like, to see this band Chewy that I saw opening for
Bad Bunny.
Right? Mm-hmm. They blew me away. I cried so much.
Aria saw Bad Bunny in Australia.
Sydney. Yeah, with Cheech and Molly. Yeah. And Molly was at the show too, and it was her third time.
Molly, give a little background on Molly Sugar, also a co-founder of RAR Adventure Riders with Aria here back in the day.
Mm-hmm. We used to be called WTF Bike Explorers. Mm-hmm. People don't really love the idea of explorers because of its colonial history. But yeah, it was nice because she was finishing up a week-long tour on the CNO. With her friend Tenzin.
Another Tenzin.
We just have to meet.
Tenzin is like Smith. Hey, Tenzin. He's like the Smith of Tibet.
It's not the Smith. It's more common than Smith. Yeah, because it's a first name. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tenzin, famously the first person who's recorded to have climbed Chomolungma, a.k.a. Everest.
I'll say Everest so you don't have to. As the white in the room.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Everest. I guess the person who it's named after didn't even want it to be named after him because he was like, my name is not worthy of Chomolungma. Mm-hmm. And I agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, that mountain is sacred. But there's just so many bodies and
there's like a boxing company named after it.
Ridiculous.
What would it? Yeah. Could you imagine Mike Tyson with Chomolungma boxer briefs on?
I mean, that would be kind of cool. I like Tyson. Wait, maybe I don't.
Regardless,
we digress. I also met up with my friend Warina, who does Native Women Ride.
Is that their Instagram handle?
Yeah. Follow Native Women Ride. Support their work.
She's an incredible artist. Really great photographer also.
Actually, she does like all the art forms. She writes. She's writing a memoir right now. She just had an art show. We went to the gallery that hosted her art show for another art show this past weekend, and it was also very, very cool. Mm-hmm. It was this artist named I wish I could remember his name just off the top of my head.
Well, we could put it in.
But maybe we could put it in the show notes, but really check them out. Warina of Native Women Ride did a movie also called the Carlisle 500 video. We'll link that as well. Pretty important stuff to think about in the alt bike world. Really important for all of us to be riding to heal and to remember and to feel connected with the land. That's without that, we got nothing. So it was a nice reminder of that. I just had a really beautiful trip.
Sounds like a nice time.
It was really good. I mean, meeting up with friends that I was organizing with over 15 years ago, before I even met Ron, was pretty neat, being in those spaces and being reminded why I do the things that I do today. And it was great meeting new friends and seeing old friends. In the heart of darkness, which is DC,
DC. They've got some great bike paths, though, I hear.
You know, that's another thing I wanted to bring up. I saw so many cyclists.
Yeah,
roadies. And it's like a lot of...
I've got some roadie friends from
non-white
college.
Roadies.
Yeah, and he's a non-white.
On sick bikes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like going fast and looking good. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like sometimes I see these kids and I'm like... Why are you wearing the Sudal Quick Step jersey from 3 years ago and it's loose on you? Like, on that like shitty ass like what is it, Wilder bike, like what is
Willier. They're not shit. I mean, Willier is a heritage brand, but yes, fine. I agree.
Because heritage doesn't mean it's not good.
Like a classic logo on a carbon bike looks terrible, and that's what Willier does. That's why they look bad.
It just looks.
I mean, all the bikes are the same. All the carbon bikes are the same.
Their helmet's crooked, but they're trying to go mad fast. Well, I'm like,
about this on my trip in England. But yeah, there's also another hallmark of this type of cyclist. They'll wear the entire kit and have like the $14,000 bike. Yet they won't be clipped in, like they'll be wearing tennis shoes, and the feet are always pointed outwards.
It's just quacking along.
Yeah, so we've got like a group chat where there's a lot of different photos of this thing sent back and forth.
Yeah.
We sound like mean people right now.
Well, it's
we have opinions. This is cable actuated and opinionated.
I have opinions, and I'm a Libra, and I like beauty. That's why we're together, because you're beautiful. Also, Leo and Libra.
Do I have a face for radio? So DC could be the heart of darkness, because some people are on those bike paths in their full kits with the
$14,000 bike. Because of power and wealth concentrated.
That begets this tennis shoe look, like, you know,
like they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. So you're working for government, you're getting paid more than you deserve, and you just don't even have the foresight to wear clipless shoes.
I don't know what it is
with your bikes.
I think that, you know, worshipping power makes you not have style of your own. That's why you have to tune into Alt Bike Now and know just some basic ideas behind what works and have some opinions.
Opinions. Of course, you know, if you're riding like a chill, like Alt Bike, flat pedals with your feet sticking out, that's fine.
Oh, we notice you right away. We're like, that's a friend right there.
But I feel like
our friend on that basket bike.
I think if I were to see a person who we just described, though, like in real life, I would ride up alongside them. Actually, we have a lot of people like that, or don't really have.
They're
that
usually like
here.
Boomers, you know. Yeah, they're on the main roads.
Which is fine. But if I saw like a younger person like that, I'd feel inclined to roll up alongside them and just kind of like, you know, offer a little bit of advice. You know, I don't know if they'd take it from me, but
you suss it out.
But I'm here to help.
Yeah, same you know, here.
Not going to quietly judge. I'm here to help.
And I will quietly judge the elders' bikes, because anyone who's older than me, because I'm not allowed to talk to elders like that.
But you are. You're of the boomer generation, though.
I do identify as a boomer. I won't talk to them like that. I'll just judge them silently. But if they're my age or younger, I might bring it up. How does that feel, you know, to get it started? Because you don't want to be that person who rides bikes and is like, actually, you could do this, you could do that, without knowing, you know, what that person's
been. And of course, I wouldn't like roll up and do that to a woman.
You should not. Absolutely not.
I wouldn't. It would have to be.
Even if it's like, there's like a beauty, I'm being distracted by this gorgeous woodpecker.
I thought you were looking at me.
You're also very distractible with your good looks, but that woodpecker's got just one on you right now. Redhead.
I know. I got a face for radio. Let's move on. Let's move on to my real life report.
Oh, so that was my real life.
That sounded a lot of fun, and I am so happy that you're home, because I missed you.
Aww.
I really do. I had a very action packed week also, but you know, in the back of my mind, I'm always like, this would be better if my sweetheart were here. Without you around, I had my longest mileage week.
Hell yeah.
On Strava in over a year, which is crazy to think. But I had a 190-mile week, which.
Wow. You have the data.
I have the data to back it up. It doesn't seem like that long of a week, honestly, when I've got other friends that are routinely do 200-mile weeks. Mm-hmm. Lorenzo, shout out Lorenzo, Larry Ravioli in San Diego. Mm-hmm. I mean, doesn't kit up, doesn't always just wearing just like toe clips, like on vintage bikes, and he routinely puts in 200-mile weeks.
Easy, like, probably 200-mile days.
Yeah,
he loves it.
a great Strava follow and Instagram follow.
Dang, that woodpecker's like eating our tree. Get out of there, woodpecker.
I'm talking about my...
Oh, my bad.
This is my week.
Sorry.
But with springtime here, like the sensations are off the charts, in my opinion. Like I rode like four or five different bikes. You know, that's part of my thing. Keeps me motivated to ride bikes is having all these different bikes because it makes it just a different experience, different outfits. And you just kind of like, I walk into the barn. I know this is a luxury, but this is how I've built my life, folks. Okay. I've been working on this since I was a teenager and I'm finally almost here. I feel like that I could walk into the barn. Mm-hmm. I could take stock of what has a flat tire and what doesn't. And I could choose my bike according to my mood for the day.
Or the weather. Yeah, I feel like you choose the weather.
For
sometimes.
The weather, you know, of course. And so, yeah, I've got my Alumax 2 sample that I've been riding a bunch and been having a lot of fun on the local gravel and ATB stuff around here, like ride single track super well. It was my cousin Sean's birthday on Wednesday, so we did a birthday ride for him, a pretty large group of us. It was Alex came over for Alex, who I want to have on the pod, friend of the pod, Alex. Mm-hmm. Can we say that already? Friend of the pod.
We already
friend
decided.
Of the pod, Alex Dyson is a complete pervert when it comes to bicycles right now, and he recently got into it within the last 4 or 5 years from fixie culture.
Mm-hmm.
And he is such a pervert, and I mean this in the best way. I've seen him I've seen him completely pie-eyed, like looking at different builds before.
It's
he comes
crazy.
Up like snap him out of it, like he like you at know the nor'easter
like
last year
eyes kind of like glaze yeah. over when they're about to snap mm-hmm. Snap at a like a fly or something. That's what his eyes get like yeah. just like wide and glazed at the same
over.
Time
and he's got a serious relationship which is shocking.
Don't bring this up.
Yeah. So he just keeps on adding to the collection. Like it's like, I don't know where he's a carpenter. And I think like, you know, at least half of his income has got to go to his bicycle addiction right now. And I am all about facilitating that addiction, guilty party here, because it does make for some pretty entertaining chats while we're riding. And so anyway, one of his newest bikes is a Country Fixed. So he's
but
got,
I don't like this, like, oh, my partner's going to be mad because I have another bike thing because
– But
like,
you've never been – you've never –
I've never been mad
but
because
I've had
when you're
– every other partner I've had, which are not many.
You've had two other partners in your whole life. Like, give me a break.
I had to hide bikes, though. I remember I would get
– But
you
were also much younger.
I was younger and I was way broke.
And, you know, when you're
– And I would have to order – but I would get new bikes and I would have them shipped to my friend Andy's house mm-hmm. so that they would never even enter the house. And then he lived right. close enough that I could go to his house to, you know, use that bike for a
yeah.
ride.
I think when you're, like, in your 20s or maybe, like, in your 30s, you're still trying to figure out, like, mm-hmm. who you are, where you're going to put your attention and – this yeah. and you're kind of in it together. Everything feels so like urgent and scary. And when you get to the 40s, it's just a little more settled. And at this point, I just want my partner to be healthy and happy. And the more bikes you have, I mean, the joy that comes to your face, you're just like a better person to be around. If you're excited about bikes and if you've been on regular bike rides, you're a much.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's a big. It's,
not that you're
it would be a deal. It would be a deal breaker. Whatever, it would be a deal breaker if we weren't able to like let one another do their things.
It's just the nature of a relationship. Yeah, but yeah, people are just better when they've exercised regularly.
And
you know,
Alex is like 15 years younger than me, mm-hmm. and so you know he is still in that like finding his.
When you're really excited about something,
he's excited.
Like you just got that's the best.
But
part
his,
of life.
I mean, his partner does seem very supportive. But I like to stir the pot a little bit and be like, I can't believe you have a relationship. Like you do you just kind of because he had like a thing where he's like sitting on the couch and he had like there was like someone offered up a Weigel in our group. And he was like, I think I'm going to get that Weigel. And I was like, have you brought this up with with your girlfriend? And he's like, oh, yeah. And I was like, how'd you do that? He's like, we were just sitting on the couch, like watching TV. And like, I just said, like, so there's like a Weigel, you know, I really like and appreciate this local builder. And I think I might get it. Uh-huh. And I think that she just was like distracted and said, sure. Well, somebody else in our group ended up getting it before mm-hmm. him. But I was saying, Alex and I went on a nice ride on Monday, which is great to get out for a Monday ride when somebody can motivate me.
That's true.
And he had a new IRO, which I guess is like a fixie brand, that he made into a country fix to clear 700x42s. And so him and I just went on a cool like dirt ride on our fixed gears, which was pretty cool. Anyway, great stuff. I did a pizza ride on, we went all the way down to Granda Pete's in Clinton to get some, because Otto has been lacking lately, kind of like underdone. You know, we like our Connecticut pizza has got to be charred.
That's the New Haven style.
And Granda Pete's in Clinton, that's where I grew up. That's like my childhood pizza, and it's legit. It's Granda Beats. It's real New Haven style. So it was warm enough that we were actually able to like get the pies takeout and brought them to the little like Clinton Landing area right by the Indian River. And
got to see the like this
marshy area before the bugs get there. Mm-hmm. Just watched people fish, and I knew that I had like a long ride home.
A quick little note. Balls was on that ride too. Yeah. Our friend Balls looks so much like Francine Koch, who won Paris-Roubaix and won a stage of the Vuelta too, I believe, or was in the red jersey one of those days. And I looked at their faces and I was like, they're twins.
Yeah. So we've got
Balls, you have
a Roubaix winner right here among us. Shout out Balls.
Shout out Ballsy. We love Balls. Everybody knows Balls and loves Balls.
Yeah. So we had a great night. It was nice and warm, and we just had lights on our bikes. We rode back through the woods, and it was just nice. I got home pretty late, like at 11 or so.
And, That's normal for the pizza ride,
but I had like 40 miles. You know,
that was our origin ride as a as the Nutmeg Country Wheeler Group.
Nutmeg Country Club.
This
weekend they had a nice longish road ride that turned into like a. I wanted to say on the way back from that pizza ride, you know, when you're riding at night this time of year, you get these awesome, these like beautiful sounds of the frogs and the peepers doing their thing. There's plenty of bogs and swamps and stuff around here. And so I love because we're the town that we live in, like the doors, like they roll up Main Street at like 6 p.m.
About that.
Yeah. And you don't see any cars on the road after that.
Generally,
maybe one or two. And so you get, even on like a relatively busy road that I try to avoid, you know, during peak hours, which is really only like a few hours a day. Like if you go out midday, you don't see anyone either. It's just when people are coming home from work, wherever that is.
Or going to pick up kids from school.
Yeah. So I was just alone with my thoughts and those peepers and the frogs, and it's just like a warm enough night that I didn't have to rush home. And it was just that's what I ride bikes for. It's just like it just puts you in this place that you can't get anywhere. I can't get anywhere else. And you have along with the sensation of flight, the spring smells, the spring sounds, it's the symphony. Symphony for the senses.
That's beautiful.
So I had a good deal of those this week, and I can't wait to go on a ride today because it.
And happy birthday, young Sean, our cousin.
Happy birthday, young Sean, my cousin, midweek last week on Wednesday.
One of the best people in the world.
Yep. Okay. Well, we are already at an hour and 8 minutes.
Oh my God.
I don't think we're even going to get to what tell us sounds. While you're mad.
Yeah, we are. We're okay. going to get through all
right,
of all this.
All right. Let's quickly get into tell them why you're mad. Tell them why you're mad.
All right. We're mad at the UCI as usual. What is the UCI
governing,
stand
that's the
for?
Governing body for International Cycling Institute.
International
Instigator. These are the cops.
The pigs.
This is who sets all the rules and whatnot. I think it's
Union Cycliste Internationale.
I think you got it.
Yeah.
It's only saving grace is that it's European. And that their championship bands are rainbows and they look incredible on any rider. And you could talk all the trash that you want about the UCI, but once you win a world championship and get to wear the most coveted, I'd argue the more coveted than the yellow jersey in cycling is the world championships kit. All white with the UCI rainbow stripes across the chest.
So you can have a rainbow across your chest to be the ultimate sign of what it means to be a champion.
Yeah.
And yet you will outlaw trans people from racing. Rainbow being the sign and symbol for queer liberation. You are going to say to trans athletes, you cannot come play with us. You freaking cowards. Let trans people race. Let the sport be a little more fun, a little more interesting. All of the science backs this up. What is your freaking problem, UCI? You bunch of cowards. You could be different. You can do so many things. It's within your power. I would have loved to see Austin Killips racing in cyclocross. Now they're doing other great things, but gosh dang it.
I mean, let's face it here, folks. Whatever your opinion is, how many trans people were actually going to race at the professional level? And if they are at that level, how hard they had to work to get there. And there's no such thing as bad publicity. This is a dying sport that we are in love with.
Say more, yes.
Okay. And they are holding on to old models. And it's something, you know, if you can, anything that you can do to make professional cycling more mainstream, more accessible, even more deserving of the rainbows, you know, it's just unfortunate that I think it's an old guard that's kind of hanging on, like in most of our developed world.
May they all fall.
They will. I mean, it's going to happen. We've got to be patient. Hopefully there's something left by the time we inherit all this, but,
we're going to make it actually beautiful. When we do inherit it, our generation,
professional cycling is a dying sport. I mean, I don't know when it peaked, maybe the Lance era.
I don't know. It seems like it needs more cohesion.
It needs to be updated to today's time, like today's ridership, today's level of multiculturalism, today's level of gender fuckery.
I mean, just let trans athletes play, you cowards.
I guess the other argument there is doping. I guess they're trying to absolve themselves of doping, and then a trans athlete would have hormones involved. So yeah, it kind of like,
you don't think these people are doping right now? Give me a freaking break. Okay, I think they're not.
I mean, I don't know.
Are you playing the devil's advocate right now?
Yeah.
Go away, devil.
Okay.
Go away. Go with the cowards.
Oh, yeah. I got one. I'm like 1 foot in cowardice, 1 foot out of cowardice at all times.
He's a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah. Yep. So
I'm a fighter and a lover.
Oh. How does that?
But fighter first.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's room for both.
Of course there is. Non-duality. Non-binary.
Oh, she said it.
Okay, I know you're mad at the UCI.
Well, I feel like I'm going to get into that next time because we're already like well over here.
Okay.
And I think that we're both mad enough at that.
Because you also want trans athletes to play.
Yeah. So, next segment. Wrap up. What are some other podcasts you loved this week?
I loved the Wheel Talk podcast from last week.
Escape Collective
Wheel Talk podcast.
Which is the women's specific racing podcast.
Yeah, they cover. So if you are into our segments of, you know, pro sports and women's gossip, definitely tune into Wheel Talk podcast. On that podcast, they were asking for more listeners and more interaction because women's sports needs the eyes, attention, and the engagement to continue to be a source of broadcast news, be a source of, you know, just fairness and equity in the sport. Mm-hmm. And because it's the most exciting part of racing right now to me and many others. So
it could be so much more exciting if more resources were put into
exactly.
it. I think that's the
more
key
coverage.
Point. You know, it's one of the, am I saying that right? Chicken or the egg?
Which came first?
Yeah. Which came first? You got to have, you know, we got to have to build up the, so you got to have like professionals for young people to look up to so that they aspire to be mm-hmm. professionals. And that's pretty new here. And they got to look up to professionals and be like, oh, that's like a paying profession. Like I could actually break my body right now to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why we're promoting people to break their bodies, but that's essentially what you have to
do. But if that's what they're doing, and that's what they want to do.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and so it's going to be like,
make sure they're paid well.
It's easy to be like, oh, the men get all this coverage. The men have, like, there's way more people watching the men's races on the sidelines and stuff. But that's just because the men have been racing for 150 years. You know, the women have been racing for
the last four at the Grand Tour level.
Well, I mean, there have been Grand Tours, but they've just been segmented. Like they would go for like a few years and then they wouldn't go for like 10 years. And
well, no, I mean, the Tour de France was Femmes Avec Zwift was the first one that happened in, I think it was 2021 or 22. And it hadn't happened since like 1989.
80s. Yeah, yeah.
And the 80s, like they were made fun of. I mean, there's straight up.
Yeah. It was a different time.
It was a different time that the shadows of that still touch us today.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the Wheel Talk podcast, they had one of our favorite cyclists of all time, Kasia Nwodoma-Phinney. They had an interview with her. You should definitely listen to it because it, to me, resonated very much with like what alt bike is, which is like riding at the top level. I mean, she's a Tour de France winner. Thank you very much.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of friends. And she's talking about how she rides bikes because she loves riding bikes and like the things she sees and how she feels in her body. It's really beautiful. Tune into that. Great podcast. I also listened to another podcast that's, I think, Planet Money. They covered how the WNBA negotiated for a fair contract for themselves. Mm. And it was really fascinating how they got to the negotiating table with the people that make the NBA because it's the same package. And they got a really amazing deal because they were being paid 1/80th of what the men were being paid. And by all like calculations done by like a Nobel laureate economist who helped them to be at the bargaining table, they should have been getting paid like a quarter based on like ticket sales, the number of games. Like they did all of these number crunchings. And I feel like a similar thing needs to happen with women's cycling as well, because if we did the numbers, I wonder what the ratio would be to what men get paid versus the women. So
yeah, right.
That's another one for me, those two.
I was just listening to music on my rides, I guess. Mm. I'm not recalling many podcasts, but I've been listening to this band Slowmosa.
Okay.
From Norway. They call themselves Tundra Rock, or that's their latest album. I was turned on to it by my cousin Nick down in Asheville, North Carolina, because he saw them play on their last tour through. And I wish I had seen that too, because they've got like a, definitely have like a doom factor to them as far as the sludginess of their riffs, but they're big riffs and there's a little bit more pop to it, like grunge. And I don't know, they're younger people, skateboarders. It's just cool to see like younger people playing actual rock and roll. It's not corny, I don't think. Like rock
and roll.
Is
Geese corny?
Geese? No. Well, you know, I mean, the guy's voice can be considered corny in the way that the kind of like clap your hands bands were in the. You think he's like Tommy York, but
he sounds a little Tommy.
I think that we saw them on Saturday Night Live a few months ago or whatever. They kicked ass. Like that was awesome. Well, folks. I hope you enjoyed this podcast.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us this morning on a beautiful spring day as the flowers bloom. I hope our listenership blooms as well. If you want to support us, you can contribute online, I think. Maybe we could buy better mics.
I think this mic is going to be good, but yeah, you know, we're going to see. My amaranth is ice cold at this point, so I've got to reheat that up before starting our day on a Monday. It's just nice to have these conversations with you, sweetie. Can you believe it that we held true to our word? Another podcast a week later.
Wow.
All right, folks. Well, hope you all get out for wonderful rides today and for the rest of the week and are enjoying the spring sensations. Until next week, I'm Ronnie Romance.
And I'm Aria.
Okay, bye.
See you next week.